This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Chuck Cooper says Big O getting shafted. Dude, you want shafted? I was thinking about this yesterday. You know that Tua and I have a lot in common. I know some of you are going, uh-oh, where's he going with this? Because I realize this, that Tua and I are, you know, kind of experience a lot of the same things in life. And I didn't realize that I can actually relate to Tua this way. So let me explain to you what I mean by relating to Tua in the same way. And right now, Tua is going to work knowing that his employer is looking for his replacement, correct? I don't think any of us are going to argue that, right? That's what's going on. Tua goes to work, and he knows that his coach and his general manager are clearly not satisfied with him, or maybe the owner isn't satisfied with him. Because, again, I really don't know who's making all these calls at times. I know people tell me that, you know, Steven doesn't do it, and Mr. Ross is not in the way, and this and that, but whatever. Okay, so let's just say the GM and the head coach are not in the Tua, which is what it looks like, right? They drafted the kid, and it looks like they've gotten off the Tua train, like, right away, okay? So think about this. You're going to work every day, and your boss is looking for your replacement. They don't want you around. How do you work like that? It's not an easy thing. Now, you still got to be a pro and you got to do your job overall. But it doesn't create a good environment. So let's backtrack a couple of years back. All right. My final year at WQAM. So Len Weiner takes over. He moves in. He's part of the Intercom group. And CBS sells to Intercom all their stations. So we meet Len for the first time, right? And he goes, hey, man, so excited to, you know, work with you, this and that and all that. I've heard a lot about you, this and that. And I go, great, it's awesome. And I go, I'm glad you're taking over, because while at the end of the run there for CBS going into Intercom, they had fired my producer, Brandon Rodriguez, like 7 months prior or something like that. And no, actually, it was like a year prior. And then I had a really, you know, bad producer that we had to get rid of that they gave me, and it was just not good. And then we got rid of that producer, and I ended up getting Solana. And Solana was a baby. He was like, that was his first gig. So he didn't really have a lot of experience. And Solana's terrific. And he's grown like crazy, you know, as a producer now. He's a really good producer for Hawk and all that. And so, but I needed more. I needed somebody to book guests, and I needed a second producer. So I go to Len, and I go in there and I say, hey, I'm glad you're here. You know, I need some help on my show. And I explained that all the other shows had two producers, because they did. All the shows had two producers except mine. All the shows had multiple. Notice how all the shows normally have multiple hosts. How many people do it by themselves? Not a lot, right? Because there aren't a lot of hosts that can actually drive a show by themselves and interact with people and create conversations and connect. They kind of need to be playing off of somebody or two other people or three other people. You know, it all depends. So I say, hey, look, you notice all the shows have multiple hosts. They all have multiple producers. And then I had to then get, you know, a little more graphic. And I said, outside of Joe Rose, nobody else produces more money than I do. Because it was true. I had more advertisers than every other show that was on 790 or 560. By miles. Not even close. Not Hawk and Crowder. Nobody. Okay? So he goes to me, it's not in the budget. I look at him, I say, what do you mean it's not in the budget? I got about 14 sponsors. What do you mean it's not in the budget? He goes, well, that's not how it works. And I go, what do you mean that's not how it works? So you overpay on other shows that barely have any advertising and you have two, three hosts on there? They had one show over on 790 that had three hosts, two producers, and no live spots. It's like, so wait a minute. On your station, we operate running, team. You got multiple people, multiple hosts, and they barely have any sponsorships. So they're barely bringing any money in. So you're losing on those shows. He goes, well, no, it doesn't balance that way. And right there and then, I knew I was getting fired. Right there, that second, I knew I was getting fired. Because he refused to hire a producer. He told me, no, hosts need to book their own guests. This Len Wiener is just, they were all praying for him in the meeting 2 days ago that he was going to get fired. But they were all depressed that he didn't get fired. Nobody likes that dude in that building because he's a piece of crap. It just, he is what he is, whatever. But my point is, I knew I was getting fired for 11 months. So I walked into that building every day knowing that Len Wiener wanted to fire me once my option came up at the end of the year. And sure enough, my option came up at the end of the year. And unlike Tua, because I was never replaced, because they don't replace anybody there. They have just taken, it's less and less and less and less. They don't replace anybody. And they certainly didn't replace me on that station. I mean, there's a reason why Joe Rose, he should be back, And others have called me from there. Hey, come back, man. Hey, this, that. And it's like, no. So I don't need the corporate world and I don't know, but I can relate to Tua. And let me tell you, and I did my job every day for 11 months knowing I was going to get fired. I told Solana the next day after that meeting, I said, hey, man, I don't know how long I'll be here, but I am going to get fired. He goes, get out of here. I go, watch. Watch. I told several people in the building within that first week. I said, you'll see. He's going to fire me for sure. And sure enough, I've been in the business. Man, I've been at this for a long time, and I know. But I also know what it's like to go to work every day knowing you're going to get fired. It's a shitty feeling. It's a crappy feeling. Trust me. And I thought about that yesterday, and I've told you this before already. I don't like the way Tua's being treated. Because you never gave him a chance. Unfortunately, you failed in building around him the right way. You failed in properly giving him coaches that could provide leadership and experience. And now you're failing him because you're already telling him you don't want him and you're already dealing with somebody else. And let me tell you something. I know that Deshaun Watson is the better quarterback. But wow, dude. You're that desperate to win that you're going to add that kind of character to your team. As I've said, it doesn't matter if he's innocent. The fact that he was stupid enough to put himself in that position and not to think that he was going to be in that position. And that'll be interesting, by the way, in his opening press conference with the Dolphins, if he does get traded here, or he goes somewhere else. Does somebody in the media ask him, hey, do you regret your decision on putting yourself in this, even though you were innocent, but you did make a many terrible decisions by putting yourself at risk to be put in that position? And I wonder how he'll answer that. You know what I mean? Will he be defiant? Will he be ignorant? Will he have his mea culpa at that moment and say, you know, you're right. And that's one thing I learned. And I was immature and I was stupid. And I put myself in a really bad position where anybody could take advantage of me. And that's exactly what happened. And maybe that's not the case. Maybe he literally committed assaults. And who knows? We don't know. But if you're found innocent, I would expect somebody to ask him that. Obviously, if he's found guilty, that's all. You don't even have to worry about those questions for a while. But going to work every day knowing you're going to get fired, I experienced that. I know what that's like. That's not a fun feeling. And that's the feeling he has to carry every day going in there, that he knows he's going to get fired, and so does everybody else. It's like he's a dead man walking around in the building. It's not a really good situation. Let's see. Livardo says, I remember Solana playing rock music the day after you got fired. I loved how he snuck that in there. Oh, he did? I didn't know. I rarely listen to the station, man. Once in a while, if I am getting breakfast in the morning, I will tune in Joe and I will listen to Joe a little bit. You know, once in a while I'll catch Hawk and Crowder because they do a nice job. They're a fun listen. You know what I mean? So I got no problem with those guys. They're cool. Not a sports show, but it's cool. Joe was hardcore yesterday. Bo Camper and Joe were legit. Oh, I don't know what were they actually? Well, I would imagine Joe is. I think listening to the few times that I've listened to Joe in the mornings that I've caught him, he has been a little bit more. Well, he's about to go. You know, he's leaving in a couple months, so he can let it out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have to carry that burden anymore. So yeah, it's one of those deals. But yeah, he's. I'm sure that. I mean, at this point, man, look, I'm a fan of these guys. I want them to succeed, but there's no defense with what's going on right now with the Dolphins, unfortunately. I'd love to, but I can't. Tony says you could tell Watson's judgment is bad when he wants to come to the Dolphins. Oh, that's like, you know what that is, Tony? That's painful truth. It hurts that you said that. But what am I going to do? Say it's wrong and you don't know what the hell you're talking about? No, you're probably right, dude. Frankie Fresco, thank you, sir. Appreciate you giving us some love on the super chat. He says, will Tua and the Dolphins ever make up if the Watson deal does not go through now or during the offseason? It's a great question. I don't know how it's going to go. Don't know how it's going to go. Because, let's be honest now. You think it's going to end with Watson? So if you fail with Watson, what do you think is next? Aaron Rodgers, right? Even though Aaron wants to go to San Francisco, and if they don't think the youngin is ready next year, maybe they could keep the youngin again learning under Aaron Rodgers for a year or two. As Rodgers finishes up his career. You know what I'm saying? So maybe they can do that. But Miami, if they're not convinced with Tua, then if they fail with Watson, I think they're going to try somebody else. And maybe even draft somebody else next year. I mean, you've told me already... You've told me already what you feel about the kid by doing all of this. And you're doing it so open that it hasn't been a secret. even though it could be all driven by Houston and not Miami right now, right? One report came out yesterday, and it's interesting how they one of the things that I talked about with those of you that follow the show every day, and obviously I've had several conversations with all the guys on this, but specifically Omar and I have kind of gone back and forth on what's going on with the Watson deal, right? And how they've kind of stirred it up. So the commissioner ended up addressing the whole Watson situation and why they haven't talked about it. And it says, when it comes to the Texans quarterback, Deshaun Watson, the NFL has made no decision regarding whether to place Watson on paid leave because the Texans already are paying him not to play. If when Watson attempts to play, the league will have to make a decision. For now, no decision is necessary. That's what I've been telling Omar from the get-go. That they haven't had to put him on the exempt list because they don't have to. Now, there's obviously our others. I call it legal approaches, says the commissioner, that are being made either through civil cases. Obviously, the police have been investigating it also. We don't have access to all that information at this point, and we pride ourselves on not interfering in that, being cooperative as we can make sure we get all the facts. But I think that process is still ongoing. And until the process is ongoing and we have enough data and information to be able to make a determination of whether he should go on the commissioner's exempt list, we don't feel we have that necessary information at this point. And that's what I've said. One, we don't know what he's guilty of, if he's even guilty. Right? We don't know. And two, they don't have all the information. So by putting him on the commissioner's list without that information, you will now create some problems with you and the NFLPA. So they don't want that, and they don't want to treat somebody without the facts. You know, innocent until proven guilty. So they want to cover their asses. Watson has yet to be formally charged with a crime. He faces 10 criminal complaints and 22 civil lawsuits for allegations of sexual misconduct during massage therapy sessions. If Watson is indicted on felony charges, paid leave becomes inevitable. Until then, it's hard to justify preventing him from playing when he's in a position to play. Whether the league would place Watson on paid leave becomes a question separate and apart from whether he eventually will face an unpaid suspension. Once the dust settles on the criminal legal process, he may indeed be suspended without pay. Some in league circles believe it will be 6 to 8 games for the pattern of behavior that resulted in lawsuits, even though he denied wrongdoing. His lawyers have admitted that some massage therapy sessions became consensual sexual encounters for reasons similar to 2010 decision to suspend Ben Roethlisberger, who was never formally charged with a crime. Goodell suspended Watson without pay. That likely won't happen until 2022 at the earliest. So it remains unknown whether the league will let him play if traded to a new team. If he's not traded, it's not an issue. If when he is, the ball is squarely in the court of Roger Goodell. So think about this for the Dolphins. So you trade for Watson. By the time you trade for him now, your season's done. You're not going anywhere. You're not winning enough games. Okay? So you're done this season. And then he's going to face a 6 to 8 game suspension next year. So what are you going to do? Have Jacoby Brissett lose a whole bunch of games for you next year? So when he comes back again by that time of the suspension, you're out of a playoff race. I know some of you are driving around or sitting in your offices or at home going, well, maybe they'll keep Tua and win those games. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If you don't want Tua, why would you want him winning games for you? But, I mean, this could be like a mess. So you trade all those picks. He doesn't help you this year because it's too late to help you this year. And then next year he's going to be suspended maybe half the season. So you don't even make the playoffs again next year. So now you've wasted 2 years And it's 2023 when you really get a full season of Watson. How does that make any sense, dude? You paid him half his salary this year. You're going to pay him all his salary next year. And then the following season is when you hope that you have the guy and the team around him to do something. It just, I don't know. Just doesn't make any sense. Gotti 4453 says, Tua sent his own message, I believe, by dressing up as Woody from Toy Story on Jacoby's Halloween fundraiser. Raw shopping, but Buzz Lightyear and not wanting Woody anymore to play with. Yeah, basically. It's crazy, man. Just an uncomfortable story, you know? One of those where you just... You wish it was a different situation. And I don't know how you drafted the kid when you're not interested in the kid and you're not willing to give him a chance. All I have is admiration for this young man. How he's fought through all the injuries in his career in Alabama. And then now you look at everything that he's going through with a terrible situation around him. And you got a team that isn't supporting him, a coaching staff that has polluted his situation for media and fans. Just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What can I tell you? Hulk Hogan says he has to show the kind of improvement against good teams we shall see this Sunday in Buffalo. It's hard to improve against good teams or any teams. He played well against the Rams and Arizona, dude, last year. It's a terrible team that he has around him. It's great to play well, but you're not going to play well if your team around you sucks. So it's a lazy take to expect him to carry them against the best team in the AFC. A team that just absolutely walloped them the last time they played. Joel Burr says, I'm disgusted. How can they consider this trade before all the facts are out? He could be a predator who massaged 22 therapists. I can't wear Finn's gear if he's guilty. I want to ride with Tua. There's a lot of people with that sentiment that's growing. I've been pretty impressed on that. That there's a lot in the Dolphin Nation they're like, you know, this guy, I get it. Watson's a good player, but man, he makes me uneasy thinking about, you know, the situation that he's been in. So there's a lot of people that are kind of disgusted by the whole Watson stuff. And I can't imagine female fans. Wow. Have any of you had any of those conversations with your girlfriends or wives that are sports fans? The ones that aren't sports fans, they're not going to give a shit. They don't care. They don't really follow it or something. They'll in passing go, oh, well, he's disgusting. And then they'll just keep on, you know, something like that. But I'm wondering the female fans that truly love the Dolphins and root on the Dolphins and all that. I wonder what they're thinking trading for the guy. I wonder how people are going to react. You're going to have your group of fans that are going to be absolutely ecstatic because all they care about is football. They don't care about what he did. They don't care if he's a scumbag. They don't care about any of that. You know? In their eyes, he's innocent because he can play football. And he might be innocent, but in their eyes, you know, that's the way they're going to look at it. And if he's guilty, they can't wait till he's available to play. That's that fan base. Let's see. Watson will be an example to players that can get away with anything. The aftermath of that is going to speak volumes. Steve, that's been going on for years. From Leonard Little to Lawrence Taylor. You know how many people have gotten away with all kinds of crap that they've pulled off? Michael Irvin and the Cowboys and the White House. You know, come on, man. It's been going on forever in football. Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, he allegedly got away with rape. That's been going on forever. Somebody tell me Sheba just hit 70 for real? Are you kidding me? By the way, we have Brian Flores. He addressed the media today. Why don't we do this? Why don't we hear from Brian Flores? And I am going to give you my reaction on the things that Brian Flores is talking about. That's at 69.81 right now. It is 70 for Sheba. Holy moly, dude. Can't believe Sheba is exploding that badly right now. Wow. That is crazy. When do we take profits? At what point do we start to dabble in the profits a little bit? Chris says, my wife loves the Dolphins. She cannot believe the Dolphins are bailing on Tua after never supporting him and replacing him with an accused rapist. I can imagine that they're going to be fan. The female fan base is going to be pretty disgusted. All right, let's hear from Cam Flo. He addressed the media. Let's see what he has to say about, I'm sure, several comments when it comes to the trades. Let's go. Let's hear from him.
Back and running back. With running back, are you going to basically look at Laird, Duke Johnson, Doakes this week, and then make a decision on who to replace Malcolm Brown's body active list Sunday? And also, with losing Reed Sennett, are you guys looking young developmental quarterback for the practice squad, or maybe someone with experience who could step in if Tua or Jacoby is injured?
It's good to have you back, Barry. How was How was your I heard you got to look at some foliage. You were away. Checking out some foliage.
Foliage, yes. Exactly.
So we signed Jake Dolagala. He's a quarterback with the Central Connecticut. We signed him this morning to the practice squad. As far as the running backs, you mentioned Laird, you mentioned Doakes, Duke Johnson, we just signed to the practice squad also. So we'll take a look at all those guys this week. Obviously more familiarity with Patrick and Doakes. So we'll get to know Duke this week and see what that looks like. Is that it? I mean, what else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're looking up the Central Connecticut quarterback.
It's spelling as
D-O-L-E.
We speak.
Yeah. What do you guys like about Duke Johnson?
Obviously, you know, experienced player, good runner, good in the pass game, has been a productive player in the league. A lot of film, a lot of good amount of production over the course of his career, and just kind of looking at the running back situation, what was available, felt like that was, the best that was available.
He was facing the same team he was injured against not long after it happened. Will there be some mental hurdle involved in that?
I don't think so. I think he's excited to get out to practice today, to play with his teammates and to compete on Sunday.
Where is he in relation to the flak jacket? I didn't notice. Was he wearing it this past Sunday? Will he continue to wear it if he was?
Yeah, he's been wearing some protection. I can't. You know, I'm no. I don't know the ins and outs of the flap jackets, but I know I've had, you know, some conversations with Joe Cimino about it. But yeah, he would definitely wear, you know, protection around the ribs.
Well, during the start of the season, is there something that you might have learned about yourself or your coaching staff that you didn't know before? That this lesson is Tip taught you a lesson about how to be a better coach?
I mean, I think you learn stuff every day in this league. And I think we're all, you know, we're all learning. We're all trying to get better on a daily basis. I mean, I ask that of the players, and I certainly ask that of myself. So I think every time, you know, I go out there and coach, offense, defense, special teams, situation, game practice, walkthrough, you know, I'm always looking for a way to get a point across, you know, coach something a little bit better, teach something a little bit better, teach a situation a little bit better, motivate a little bit more. I think that's kind of an ongoing, you know, daily process for me, not just football-wise, but really across the board. You know, I just try to get better in every area of my life. And, you know, I try to talk to our players about doing that. Obviously from a football standpoint, but also in other areas.
Ryan, what's your confidence level that Devontae will be able to play Sunday?
You know, today we'll walk through, hopeful that he can, he'll be available for the walkthrough for sure. Hopeful that he can, you know, string a couple of good days of practice, Thursday and Friday, and, you know, we'll see if he's available for the game.
Week in a row that you're facing a team coming off a bye week, what are kind of the talking points that you emphasize to your players about facing a well-rested, you know, team that's eager to go?
You know, I think every week there's different challenges. You know, a team coming off the bye, obviously they've had some rest, they'll have energy. I mean, I think, you know, just being on the road and being in that environment, there's going to be energy in the stadium regardless. But well-rested, like you mentioned, you know, should be full of juice, full of energy. But I would expect that from this team, whether it was – or really any team, whether they're, you know, coming off a bye or not. You know, both still getting treatment, you know, against a walkthrough today. So expect them to both be or they'll both be at the walkthrough. But, you know, getting better, moving in the right direction.
Back to the issue of being well-rested, I think there probably was an assumption on my part anyway last week that the walkthrough was because of the London trip, but now we're still on Wednesday walkthrough. Is that something that you foresee keeping throughout the rest of the season? And if so, what's the thinking on that?
I think, you know, it's week to week. So there were some bumps, bruises coming out of the game. And just felt like, you know, it's in the best interest to get two good days, Thursday and Friday, to, you know, take a little bit off them today.
There's been a lot of talk about one player relative to a trade, but just in general, have you made it a point to address sort of the whole group about the looming trading deadline? Not about one player generally, about the trade deadline coming.
Nah, we don't really talk about, you know, we're talking about the Bills. We're talking about the Bills. We're talking about, you know, individually trying to improve and get better in practice. Here are the things we need to do this week against this team for, you know, for Joe, for Hal, for, you know, that's kind of the conversation. You know, there's no conversations about, you know, trade deadlines.
Is Jerome feeling better? Have you talked to him today? Obviously, he's a big part of your defense.
Yeah, he'll be out there today. You know, he'll be, you know, listed limited. Kind of working through the issue with the injury or the injury, and it's calm day to day. I think we've moved the ball, you know, better the last couple of weeks. I think we had, you know, a few more, you know, chunk plays the week before than last week. But I thought we moved it, you know, pretty efficiently. Obviously not well enough. And then we just got to be more consistent in those the middle part of the game. But, you know, I think overall, I think we're moving it fairly efficiently, you know, and, you know, taking what the defense gives us. But, you know, we got to do more.
Brian, what did the film tell you about Austin Ryder's performance at center, and is he a guy you might consider keeping in the starting lineup regardless of?
I thought he did some good things. You know, it's when you step in and you haven't played, and then, you know, you go in there and, you know, playing an NFL game. I thought he did well. I thought his communication was good. I thought his overall understanding of where he needed to be was good. I know there's some plays that he wishes he would have blocked a little bit better or protected a little bit better. But overall, I thought, we were able to, run the offense from an O-line standpoint, you know, without a huge drop off. I thought he did a nice job.
Well, knowing you have your focus on the game and not get into the details, which y'all talk about, can you take me through maybe what the process is in season when you and Chris talk about transactions or different things involving the 53-man roster?
I mean, we talk every, you know, pretty much every day about, the roster, inactives, who's playing, who's not playing, practice. So it's really more of a daily conversation. I'm not sure if I'm answering that your question. But as far as the process, I mean, it's really a daily process where we're, if something pops on the waiver wire, I may pop in his office. He comes into mine. Practice squad, practice squad protection. I mean, this is, it's not like a once a week thing. It's really every day. We're constantly, evaluating, our team and seeing what else is out there. And, those are kind of daily conversations.
Brian, we asked Josh a couple days ago about just overall defensive philosophy and playing more zone or as opposed to blitzing less. I want to ask you, how much is playing young safeties like Javon and Brandon Jones kind of played a role in maybe not blitzing as much? And kind of big picture, have you seen defenses tend to kind of favor coverage as opposed to sacrificing that with, the rule changes kind of favoring offense?
I didn't get the last part of it.
Just big picture, have you kind of seen defenses tend to prioritize coverage more as opposed to blitzing and sacrificing that in coverage?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really game plan specific. I think it's specific to the situation. It's kind of a tough question because, when to cover, when to blitz. There's a feel involved there. It's obviously part of every game plan. Hey, we're going to cover them here. We're going to blitz them here. We're going to try to pressure them in this situation. Score may play a role in that. There's so many kind of factors. I think it's, and obviously the players involved, are part of it as well. Do we think we can get there with a 4-man rush, 5-man rush? Do we feel like we need to blitz them? There's so many kind of layers to them. You may want to, have a plan to blitz, and then you get there on a 3-man rush, and you say, why would I blitz them? You know what I mean? Every game is a little bit different. So it's a tough question. I think, we'd have to look at a specific game and say, hey, what happened? What happened on the last series? They made you, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that.
What about the zone man choice? What are some factors that maybe go beyond the obvious when choosing which path to go?
You know, situation. You know, if you want to get on him on first down, you want to get him on him on, you know, second and whatever, third down. You know, what'd you do the last time? I mean, there's a lot of factors. It's kind of the same as far as calling a game.
Well, I asked two of this after the game, and I'm curious in your thoughts. Like, how do you or do you balance kind of the mentality of letting the guys know, like, hey, keep your chin up, but also saying I'm upset and I'm frustrated too when you're going through, you know, a losing streak like this? Is there a balance between kind of like making sure you're on the same page with the players there?
I mean, I like to think that I'm very honest with the guys. I think, you know, that's kind of been my philosophy and, you know, how I'll just continue to interact with the players. So, yeah, I mean, I think these guys work hard. They're resilient. They give great effort. You know, they should keep their heads up. At the same time, we've got to do better. And that's really, you know, it's as direct and honest as I can be. And you know, that's been the message to them. And but I also tell them that I'll be better, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not one to, you know, point fingers and you know, try to divide a group. I mean, we're all in this together. So that's kind of the message. And I think, you know, honesty is always the best way to go. That's been my kind of overall philosophy, and I'll continue to do that.
Flo, you talked about, you know, being honest with your players. Tua spoke about after the game, you being transparent with him with regards to the trade reports. You know, how do you guys kind of just navigate this the final days up until the trade deadline with, you know, reports kind of coming out as often as they have been?
Well, I mean, I don't really get into rumors. I don't really pay attention to rumors and hypotheticals and this and that. Tua is our quarterback. I've said that, you know, multiple times, and I've said that to him, and it's about as, you know, I try to be, you know, honest and transparent with our players, and, you know, that's what I've been.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
You know, guess we waited till the end for that final question by what's it called? By Saffedine. You don't pay attention to rumors, but dude, your players do. Your fan base does. The media does. So, And really, he never answered the question. And I think it's got to be asked. I wonder, you got to ask. You got to ask the coach. Like, what has Tua told you when you tell him you're trying to trade for another quarterback? Because he's calling it rumors. But yet, it's almost being reported as a near fact that the Dolphins are the ones negotiating with them. And if everybody's reporting this all over the place, Jay Glazer's reporting it. If, you know, Ian Rappaport's reporting it, you know, something's going on. There's a fire, right? There's smoke and there's fire. You got to address it, man. You can't keep dancing around it. Well, I don't address rumors. Well, then why don't you end them? Right? Because once the rumor pisses you off and throws you off and throws your team off kilter and throws your quarterback off kilter, but yet I don't pay attention to rumors. Well, then did you watch Mike Tomlin yesterday? Do me a favor, Sean. Find Mike Tomlin shooting down the USC rumors. Did Nick Saban, you know, we forced him to say, I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. We forced him to lie. Okay, if you're not willing to address the rumors, but you're willing to keep them alive. You're not willing to end them. You know what I'm saying? And that's the key. End the goddamn rumors. Mike Tomlin, he was associate or attributed to USC. All these reports are coming out from the West Coast that they're going after Mike Tomlin. They're going after Mike Tomlin. They're going after Mike Tomlin. Do you know how? Here's the difference between Flo and Mike Tomlin. Flo allows the rumor to fester, but tells you he doesn't want to address it. Mike Tomlin doesn't let the rumor fester. He ends it. Go ahead, Sean.
Guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that? Guys, I don't have time.
Just a little jab at the end, like, hey, assholes, I'm an NFL coach. Stop with this bullshit. I'm not going to go recruiting kids, and I'm not going to be dealing with some punk-ass kid that wants to threaten me to go into the portal or some parent that's pissed off. Mike Tomlin is a leader of men, not of boys. And it's pretty obvious. Like, it's damn obvious that Mike Tomlin wants to coach men. He's a pro coach. But see, that's what a responsible coach does. A responsible coach ends the effing rumors so he doesn't have to walk into the locker room and players are looking at him sideways like, yo, are you with us or are you leaving? And he had to come out and say, no, I'm with you guys. This is all bullshit. This is all fairy tale. And you could easily end all this. You don't have to answer the questions every day. It's almost like you really got to, like, corner him and say, are you trying to trade for Deshaun Watson or not? And that's it. And see what he says about that. And keep pushing it to the point where he has to answer the question and not keep dodging the goddamn question. Don't tell me that you're not about addressing rumors, but you are more than happy to keep them alive and pollute your locker room. I don't know about you, but I know that's an irresponsible coach. That's an irresponsible leader. That's an irresponsible CEO. That's an irresponsible whatever label you want to put of someone that leads anyone or any group. If you're a CEO and there's rumors about you leaving this company for another, you may want to address your stockholders. You may want to address your employees and say, none of it is true. I am here. You don't allow it to fester. It's incredibly irresponsible on his part at this point to allow that to hang around. But why are they allowing it to hang around? Because they're exactly doing that. I wanted to believe that this was only Houston trying to stir it up, but when you keep acting like this, that's what it sells. It sells doubt. It sells that you're not interested in any of anything that Tua is doing right now. Steve Rose says, Tomlin was great, but why did he mention, are you asking Peyton or Reed? Tomlin, of course, is being asked this because Carson Palmer, an ex-player, said he was being considered for the job. You didn't pick up on that, Steve? It's I'm an NFL coach. Why you don't ask Andy Reid that question? That's the idea. The idea is that you don't ask those guys because you know they're not going to take a college job. And this guy's the same. He's an NFL coach. He's never had any kind of inkling of going to college. Plus, if you look at Mike Tomlin, he's not a college coach. I don't think that guy ever wants to deal with kids. That's like asking Pat Riley, go coach college. It's like, get the hell out of here. We already know we're trading for him. However, that's a Greer question to ask. No, that's the head coach. Head coach is also part of personnel, my man. Okay? And it might be the head coach that gave up on Tua more than anybody else. Steven says, love his demeanor where Flo is weak lately. Same coach tripped a player in a game. We're all flawed. LOL. Reading comments and thinking a lot of y'all got to get used to Watson in Miami. Nothing we can do. Multiple reports say Panthers are out. Yeah, we showed Ian Rappaport's tweet on the Panthers supposedly out of this thing. What would Shula do? Shula would end the rumor right there and then. That's what he would do. I'm pretty sure he would end the rumor, then give you a stare and say, never ask me that again. But remember, we're talking about a guy that is not really a liar. Not a guy that bullshits. Like, he told you, like, I mean, he's a godfather. He's one of those Pat Riley types. You know, they kind of just tell you what it is and that's it. Move on. But he probably would have squashed the rumor. Those are old school guys. And they would have squashed it in a way like Mike Tomlin. Like, stop with this stupid ass crap. We're not part of it. But again, they can't do that because they are part of it. I mean, listen, when you're truly not guilty, you will scream from the top of every building and mountain to make sure everybody knows you're innocent. When you are guilty and you can't defend it, you're going to squirm, you're going to avoid, you're going to try to dance around whatever you can. And that's what we're watching. They're squirming, they're dancing, they're using all the excuses, but they don't have the balls to come out and just say, we're not trading for them, because they can't. That's the problem. They cannot. Remember, you can make a donation through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show through Cash or Venmo. Jason hits us up with a super chat. He says, why don't they ask the GM, the guy that drafted the fifth string tight end in the third round, where is he anyway? He hasn't been in front of reporters. GMs don't talk, Jason. Now, let's not make it sound like he's avoiding anything. He doesn't have to talk to anybody right now. GMs don't talk now, unless there's a trade or something to talk about that they acquired. But outside of that, you get the GM at the beginning of the year, you get the GM at the end of the year, and you get him in the offseason. It's over. Three times, maybe you get him. If that, maybe twice. It's how it always is. GMs never talk. So let's not make it sound like Greer is any different than any of the other 31 GMs that are in other cities. Most of them don't talk. Unless you're Jerry Jones, then you're always willing to be in front of a mic and talk about any kind of crap that goes on. A report said Watson is not doing a settlement because he believes he's innocent. I don't know what to believe anymore, man. I don't know what to believe on if the trade's going to happen, if it's not going to happen, if they're close, if they're not close, if he's innocent or if he's guilty, if he's paying, if he's not, how long it will last, will he get suspended? There's just so much bullshit going on here. I have no idea what the hell's going to happen. So we're just going to have to watch it and wait for it to develop. And that's it. M-1 says, yep, they can't be go because in reality, they ain't trading for him. Ain't, or you mean ain't. James Burke says, I want Tua. Tua will be traded, and he'll go to the Hall of Fame. Watch. Just call Miami. Good luck. Chuck, stop. This sucks, man. We just can't stop making terrible decisions. I really hope we don't do some dumb shit like trade for a dude that we don't know if he's innocent. This is all very desperate and dumb. It is desperate. It is very desperate. I can't believe the complete 180 we've done since 2 months ago. We thought we had our GM coach and QB. Now GM coach look like morons and our QB could be traded or just leave. I know, Eddie. It's like the weirdest thing, dude. Sucks. Thought we were headed in the right direction, too. Big O, take the homer hat off. Tua's not the guy. The trade is going through. The trade going through doesn't mean that he's not the guy. So that's fine. We'll disagree on that one till time proves it all. Let's see. I second what Cap 4 said. Oh, please speak to coaching staff. I don't know what that means. Steve Rose says, so we trade 5 high draft picks and absorb a huge contract for a guy likely facing suspension. Couple that with Greer and Flo not having a great track record for drafting and developing. Desperate much? It's kind of what it looks like right now, right? If these players that they've drafted don't work out, you're right. It's exactly what it looks like. Our relationship with Tua is ruined. He might as well trade for Watson already. Well, they're trying. Not already. They're already trying. But they want clarification. Remember, they want to know how long he's going to be suspended and all that. And it's funny as hell. Joseph says, the Houston Chronicle announced yesterday that Miami and Houston reached a deal and Flores kept lying at his presser. Well, first of all, that's not true. The Houston Chronicle did not report that it was actually taken out of context because John McClain put out something yesterday. And let me bring it up for you guys here. Okay. Let me bring up his comment because obviously we must defend the man's honor if he did not say exactly that, and maybe people phrased it. Here we go. Let me show you the tweet so that way you guys see it, obviously, and those of you listening on the podcast, I will read it directly for you. John McClain says, I'm being bombarded with messages saying I've reported a Watson deal to the Dolphins has been agreed on. I haven't reported that. Nothing's changed since last week. Dolphins and any other team Watson has approved want the legal issues resolved. That hasn't changed. So there is no deal in place. So they want first the legal issues to be resolved. They're not going to be resolved by November 2nd. That's just the facts. There's no way it gets resolved by November 2nd. SoCal Derek says, Big O, if we make this trade, we will be set back another 25 years, never winning. I mean, I don't know. What if they trade for him and all of a sudden some of the linemen start developing and, you know, people start playing well, Jalen Phillips finds his way and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You just never know because, see, here's the thing. Here's where we're all going, you know, not we all, but me and some of you are going to part ways a little bit. One, I have not given up on Tua as a player. Okay? I believe he can play. I need to be proven wrong that he can't be a franchise quarterback at this level. When that happens, I'll tell you, hey, I was wrong. We move on. Fine. Okay? Then I look at what's it called? Man, I'm brain farting now of what was I going to say? Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, man, I'm too tired. I got to say, I'm too tired. My brain's already getting... Now, I swear to God, I forgot completely what I was going to say. Trying to remember what I'm going to say and completely forgot. Damn, what point was I going to make that I got completely thrown off? Let me see. Again, maybe reading, what's it go? Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, you don't know if all this stuff starts to fall into place because you haven't given these young players. But right, what we're going to separate is, one, I haven't given up on Tua, and two, I haven't given up on all the talent. See, a lot of you out there have labeled this all a failure and that none of these players are good and that all the draft picks suck. And that Greer can't draft anybody, and that Flo's not developing anybody, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not there yet. Yeah, the team isn't getting developed by Flo, but I'm not convinced that all these players are bad, that all these draft picks are bad. I just don't believe that. I don't believe they have the proper leadership around them. That's why I think it's harder for Tua to succeed, and it's harder for all the other players to succeed when you don't have the right coaches and the right schemes and the right people guiding them, and there's no experience on the team and things. There's a lot of screwed up things that I don't like about the environment. So that's why I haven't given up on Tua, and I haven't given up on the talent drafted yet. I'm closer to giving up on Flo. I'm closer on giving up on Flo and his staff, but not Greer and not the players. That's where I'm at. And I still haven't completely given up on Flo yet. I'm really pissed and disappointed with Flo. But I still want to give him a chance to kind of, you know, make good and prove that all this crap is an aberration. But, you know, I watched this press conference today again, and I just see a coach mishandling every situation that comes up, just like this one. You have a chance to end the rumors, and you refuse to do it. Here's reality. We'll sing Watson, and this time next – well, we'll sign, I guess is what you mean. We'll sign Watson, and this time next year, everyone will be praising the trade, and we'll forget about this. Just watch. Well, yeah, James, what about if he's suspended for 6 to 8 games next year? You think we're going to forget about it? It's actually next year's already ruined. Okay. Big O, do you remember Suck for Luck? Looks like we're heading there again. Rosendo says, good morning, Big O. Always surround yourself with positive souls, and good vibes will just come naturally. Remember that your surroundings will influence your experience, so make it a positive one. Flo is a Belichick sleeper agent. James says, Big O, I totally agree. Our talent has not developed. Got to give the guy at least 3 years. I agree. I'm not even ready to give up on Noah Igbinoghamy. Because he doesn't play. I've watched players like Nick Needham look terrible and then finally develop into a decent player. I've watched players all the time be terrible early on and then figure it out. And maybe he never will. Maybe he'll never develop the ball skills he needs. But if he doesn't play, he's not going to get a chance. Flo Gotta Go says, we know all these draft picks aren't bad. Wilkins is balling. Dieter was playing well. Gesicki's a beast. Hunt is trending up. Tua's trending up. Brandon Jones playing well. So talent is there. Got to get the coaching, man. Big O, buy the Dolphins our run after Sheba hits a dollar. There you go. Brother Sheba hits a dollar, and I'll be doing this show in the most comfortable setting ever. Okay? Telling you. I doubt it'll ever get even to a penny, actually, or two pennies. But, you know, if it gets to a hundredth of a penny, then maybe I think, you know, that'll be pretty good. Big O, people, I believe, are overreacting. I believe this is a sophomore year of rebuild. I want this team to stay the course, stay the plan. I would like that too, actually. But, you know, these two guys have to respond. Flo and Greer have to have things go their way so we can feel good about that. Right, you know what we always feel good about? An Alan Pupar Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Insider Report. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is next.